Joining me now on the line to break down the Raptors' big 115-100 win over the Knicks, Sportsnet 590 The Fan's Mr. Raptor, Eric Smith. Eric, thanks for doing this. Can we put another nail into the Tank Nation coffin, Eric, or is it too early?
Well, you know how I feel. I was putting nails in a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, if not 2 months ago. So I would say that you could probably put another nail in. I mean, when you're only two games away from the 500 mark and you're still sitting atop the division, and now you've picked up two victories over a division opponent, no matter how bad the Knicks have been. Look at it this way. The way this team's been playing of late, George, the way they played on the road, and now they've come back and picked up a win here at home and a chance to maybe inch a little bit closer to 500 with a game in Chicago against the roseless Bulls on New Year's Eve. I think this team's making a push for the division crown right now, as opposed to tank it and blow it up and everything else. I think they're probably looking at guys that are teams that are around them right now, like Brooklyn and New York, that are stumbling, and obviously Philadelphia, and saying, hey, this might be our opportunity to kind of get it done right now.
Erica, obviously you know a lot better than I do, but just watching the Raptors, they just look like a more energetic bunch. The ball movements there, they just look, it's like a night and day since that Rudy Gay trade, Eric.
Yeah, they really are. I think, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, George, it's 7-3 now for the Raptors since the deal.
Wow.
Including, the first night or the first couple of nights, when the new guys hadn't even officially suited up yet, but the depth is better. The talent, I think, is better as a result of the improved depth, the improved ball movement, the unselfish play. To your point, just the team overall just playing better and more cohesive. And I think there's better role definition now. And again, I don't think that that's necessarily a criticism directly of Gay. I think it's sort of an indirect result, or a direct result, perhaps, depending how you look at it, of him moving on. Because there's simply one guy that's not commanding touches now, commanding the ball as much, or demanding touches and demanding the ball. And it's not a two-man game now with Gay and DeRozan. It's truly a team concept. And, the kind of loss in all this as well is, not only has the team been winning, not only is the team now, it locked in first place for a little bit here atop the Atlantic Division, albeit two games below 500 still, but you've been winning and improving and looking better and maybe regaining some fans, all the while improving and helping to improve two second-year players that are in your starting lineup that are contributing in a big-time way in Terrence Ross and Jonas Valanciunas. Ross tonight finishes 8 of 16. So that is the fifth time in 10 games since the Gay trade that he shot 50% or better in a game, and he's shooting above 45% since the Gay trade and since going into the starting lineup. 23 points tonight, 7-11 from distance. Valanciunas, 1 point shy of another double-double. And last night, George, Valanciunas notched his 9th double-double of the season. He had only 8 the entire season last year as a rookie. So you're developing two young players in your starting lineup while winning at the same time. So as much as you're maybe not perhaps going towards a number one pick and a Jabari Parker or an Andrew Wiggins or whomever, the two young guys that you do have on your team are playing, improving, and playing well and contributing to the winning that you're actually putting on the floor.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan's Eric Smith joining us here to break down the Raptors' 115-100 win over the Knicks down at the ACC on Sportsnet tonight. My name is George Russick. Eric, you mentioned the name Terrence Ross, and when the Rudy Gay trade went down, Coach Casey told him that he isn't by no means a lock to be in the starting lineup and that they needed him because they're really short of bodies. Is this a testament to where Terrence Ross is right now, that he's kind of grabbed the ball and run with it since the Rudy Gay trade?
Yeah, I think it absolutely is. I mean, he's proven that he deserves to be there with the way that he's been playing, because even the nights where he hasn't shot the ball well, I think he's been good enough defensively to continue to get playing time. And I think we've seen in the fourth quarter, not only tonight, last night, but in a lot of games, like go back to that win over Oklahoma City and his defense against Kevin Durant, John Solomon has been the guy getting a significant amount of burn in the fourth quarter. And that's not a knock on Ross. I think that's the comfort level of Dwayne Casey leaning on a veteran player in some crunch time minutes and some crunch time opportunities. But Ross, if he continues to go on this path, I think you'll start to see a little bit more burn as well, and it maybe makes the coach's decision that much more difficult. But, if he's knocking down shots and kind of providing that third option for the Raptors offensively with DeRozan and probably now Lowry being your 1-2 punch, I think that's a nice role for Ross. I can't remember who it was, George. Might have been somebody on Twitter. Might have been somebody on one of these, on one of your talk shows and phone-ins that mentioned it to you guys, and maybe you or Jeff asked me this. But, if Ross is kind of a similar player, could he be a similar player to a guy like Morris Peterson.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe a fair comparison. He's not quite there yet, but, you know, by the end of the season, projecting ahead to next year, projecting ahead to a career, could he be a guy that gives you anywhere from 10 to 15 on any given night, gives you, you know, anywhere from 4 to 7 rebounds, play some defense, has the ability to knock down a three, can be that sort of number three, consistent number three option on the odd night, and maybe your number two. The odd night, he's going to jump up and give you 20, 25 points and have a breakout night. And that was kind of Morris Peterson, a steady, solid starter, a steady, solid role player that served the purpose, that could play well, that could knock down shots, but not the superstar per se. And maybe that's what Terrence Ross is, and that's not necessarily a bad thing for this team.
Eric, before we let you go, we see Kyle Lowry pour in 32 points, also grabbed 8 rebounds with 11 assists. What has pushed Kyle Lowry more, the supposed big-time rumors that he was getting dealt to the New York Knicks, or the acquisition of Gravis Vasquez kind of pushing him at the point guard position, or is it both?
It's probably a combination of both, and it's probably a combination of that and the trade itself involving Rudy Gay. As much as it was tough, I'm sure, to lose a close friend, I mean, Rudy Gay is the godfather to Kyle Lowry's son, and I think he's the godfather to Rudy Gay's child. But I think at the end of the day, as much as you lose a friend and it kind of stings, you're put into the spotlight that much more as an offensive player. You're put into the spotlight that much more as a facilitator, because now it's not just one pass and let DeMar or let Rudy make the decision and be the one to handle the ball and kind of dictate what's happening. It's back on your shoulders as the quarterback of this offense. So I think that in itself is a major factor, let alone is he looking over his shoulder a little bit? Is he worrying about the trade? Is he thinking about the trade or whatever? I think it kind of all factors in a little bit, George. And at this point right now, I mean, hey, I could be proven wrong tomorrow when I wake up and see a trade or a headline in a newspaper, but I really don't believe that Kyle Lowry's going anywhere at this point. I think that if you're Masai Ujiri, if you're Jeff Weltman, and you're assessing this roster and assessing what's happening in the East and what's happening with so many teams, I mean, look at even the Atlanta Hawks, not in your division, but a team that, you know, would be right in the mix for that 3-4 seed. They lose a major player now in Al Horford with the pectoral tear, gone for at least 4 months and perhaps the season. You start looking at all these injuries piling up and teams going down. This might be your chance to make the run for it, and it goes back to what I've been saying for a long time now about winning and the development of winning, what it can do for your young players and what it can do to the statement that it makes to the league as a winning team, as a playoff team, as opposed to trying to develop another young core player that maybe comes via draft. You know, difference of philosophies, I know, for a lot of people, but just quickly here to end it, George, you talk about Kyle Lowry and how well he's playing of late. I would ask you, and maybe ask some of the fans out there, you go through the Atlantic Division for sure.
Yeah.
Then go to the Central, and maybe Kyrie Irving, and then go to the Southeast Division and start looking through some of those teams. Kemba Walker, throw him in the mix, sure. John Wall, okay, yeah. Jeff Teague, maybe, yeah. But how many guys are playing better right now in the Eastern Conference overall, in the Eastern Conference, than Kyle Lowry? You start looking ahead to the All-Star break that's coming up in 6 weeks, you're not going to get voted in as a starter. But I think if Kyle Lowry continues on this path, people are talking about how well DeRozan has played this year. I think Kyle Lowry could be earning himself a potential All-Star spot if he continues to play at this level.